Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 101. Psalm 101, we're going to read all eight verses together. We'll read this passage responsively. Psalm 101, verses 1 through 8. I will sing of the mercy in judgment. I will sing of mercy in judgment. Unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. O, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath an high look and proud heart will I not suffer. Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land, that I may cut off all wicked doers from the city of the Lord. And let's pray. Father, again, we do thank you for our church. God, as we focus on the preaching of the Word of God, I pray that you'd help me today. Help me to help my people. Lord, would you please get my sinful flesh out of the way? Would you get my own being out of the way? And may the Word of God penetrate deeply into people's hearts, their lives, their minds. And may we use what we learn today to help others, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Psalm 101, verse number 6. The Bible says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. As your pastor, I long to help you. I mean that. I live my life for one purpose, and that is to help you. I realize that you'll find much better preachers, much better men at the pulpit than I. But I'll promise you this, you'll go long and hard to find somebody that longs to give you the truth that you need like I do. Amen. I love you. I want you to have the truth that you need. You see, it doesn't have to be packaged pretty. I never pray for God to help me preach a good sermon. I never do. You say, God's answered that. I know. I do pray, though, that I'm able to give you the truth that you need. Somehow that it's packaged together so that you can get it. I can say this with total confidence. I can help you today. The truth of today can be applied to every person in this room. Doesn't matter if you're 4 or 5 or 6 years old. Doesn't matter if you're a teenager. Doesn't matter if you're a young adult, married, single, middle-aged, a senior citizen. It doesn't matter who you are, the truth of today will apply. It'll apply to your home life. It'll apply to your marriage. It'll apply to children, you obeying your mom and dad and your brothers and your sisters getting along. It'll apply to where you work. It'll apply in every aspect of your life. Here's the problem. Not many of you will want to live the truth of today. That's the problem. You see, not many will want to live this truth, but those that do, you'll find biblical happiness and joy if you do. I call today's sermon, Let's All Grow Up, or Mature Loyalty. Let's all grow up, or mature loyalty. We live in an immature world. And some of you teenagers, I want you listening to me very carefully here. We live in a wimpy society. My soul. It seems like we live in such a soft soap society that they can't take anything. The average church, the average preacher dresses like mama and talks like mama, saying they represent the Father. Well, I hate to tell you, it's plain meat and taters here, and you're going to get it straight from the Word of God. You see, we think that drawing a crowd is success. I'm not against crowds. But I happen to know, drawing flies, what draws them. And it's not always success. If you've ever been out in the fields, you know what I'm talking about. You see, holding to the truth and holding to right in God's eyes is success. Not just a big crowd. I know lots of people that can draw a big crowd. Does that mean that in God's eyes they're successful? Now, I hate to tell you this, but truth will bring the crowds. You see, holding the truth and holding the word of God and holding to right in God's eyes is success. The power of God is success. I'm in competition with nobody. I had a pastor from a state in the Midwest call me this week. And I've known him for probably 35 years of my life. I've known him. Good man. A little different than I am, but he's a good man. And he said, "Brother Bush, I heard you're pastoring." I said, "Yes, sir, I am." I said, "I've been pastoring for about 15, 16 months now. God's great. God's good." I said, "I'm having the time of my life." I said, "I wouldn't change one thing I'm doing, and God is blessing it." He said, "Who have you had in?" I said, "Nobody but God." I said, "I'm not interested in what everybody else thinks. I don't care what everybody else thinks. We're here to build Grace Baptist Church, and I don't care what the country thinks." Amen. Now, I happen to know that's not always been his philosophy. He just kind of chuckled under his breath and said, "Guess we'd all be happier if we adopted that." I said, "Yes, you would." I'm not incompetent. I don't know what somebody else's church is running. You say, "Why?" I'm too busy building this one. I don't care. I'm not involved in politics, either government or Baptist. I'm not interested in what movement are you in. Folks, we're in Grace Baptist Church movement. Amen. I'm not worried about everybody else. We're here to build a church. Now, we think in our society today that as long as somebody agrees with me or that they benefit me, that it's good. And if they disagree with me and if it doesn't benefit me, it's not good. I hate to tell you, that's not God's view. Amen. You know, my enemies and your enemies are not bad people. Just because they don't treat you right doesn't mean they're bad people. That's good. Everybody doing okay?
Yes.
We don't like preaching like that, but guess what? That's good living. You see, we live in a world that's totally panicked. We have believed because of our immaturity the panic that's created around us. There is no such thing as a polar vortex. It's January, folks. It's supposed to be cold. They've already proven global warming wrong for 10 years, and we still want to believe in global warming and spend trillions of dollars every year on global warming that's not there. You notice they're not talking about global warming right now. They sent a team of explorers to the South Pole to prove global warming right, and they got stuck in the ice in the summertime at the South Pole. Maybe we ought to start putting some carbon back into the environment to warm it up a little bit. Now, wait a minute. We live in the total panic of our government and our media. Let me show you what I mean. And please don't take this, but I'll use our area. Yesterday, there was a shooting at a mall in Baltimore. 3 people were killed. Tragic. You're going to hear nothing but for the next 2 weeks on how we ought to have gun law regulations. What about the lady that was about 15 miles from there that murdered 2 of her own children and tried to murder the other 2 in a seance this week? Are they going to outlaw knives because she stabbed her children 30-some times? We want to live in total panic. We're not mature enough. Everybody doing okay? It's time for our society to grow up. I'm going to make a statement that may make some of you mad, but maybe you'll listen to me. We now have a society where the children lead and rule the adults. Children and teens now set the policy for our country, for our homes, and for our churches. Everybody listen to me for just a second here. Here's a very important statement. Hint, hint. We have created or catered, let me restate that, we have catered to the immature for so long that the mature acts like the immature. Those who were catered to are now leading our country and still want catered to and want us to cater to theirs even more. My mom and dad are in Florida for the winter. But those of you that know my mom and dad, you know my dad. There's a reason I grew up with the statement, son, you don't tell adults what to do. Adults tell you what to do, and you just shut up and do it. Say, what happened if you didn't? We won't talk about that. Well, he warped your psyche. He never called it a psyche, but he warped it more than once. Let me tell you. It's been warped, whipped, and a few other things. Amen? But I also didn't whine and complain because I had to go to school because it was cold outside. Everybody doing all right? I'm so sick and tired of mamby-pamby society, it drives me nuts. God says there are two kinds of loyalty. Now, the word loyal is not found in the Bible. You won't find it. But the word faithful and the word loyal are very, 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 they're almost a synonymous word. I want you to look at Psalm 101, verse 6 again. The Bible says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful or the loyal of the land. Watch this. That they may dwell with me. That means live with. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. Okay, look at me. God says there's two groups of people and two levels here. You have the loyal who will dwell with him. Then you have those that are perfectly faithful. That does not mean sinless. The word perfect means mature, grown up, fully ripened. He said, and the ones that are mature not only will dwell with me, they're the ones that will serve me. Wow. Let me ask you a question. Are you content just dying and going to heaven someday, or do you want to serve God and be close to him? You see, God says there's two levels. You've got the entry level, the baby level, the immature level, and then you have the mature level. I don't know about you. I couldn't wait to grow up. Did you ever notice that a child never satisfied being a child? Those of us that are old enough to have children and children that are grown, we look back and say, if you only knew how good you got it right now, kid. My secretary and her husband have a little Wyatt's just turned a year old. I'm thinking, man, that kid's got it made. Everywhere he goes, somebody picks him up, takes him there. Doesn't cost him anything. When he's hungry, all he's got to do is make a noise and gets fed. And if he doesn't like it, make another noise, they give him something else. He doesn't even have to get up and go use the washroom. He just does it wherever. And then squawks about it and somebody cleans him up. He doesn't even have to take a shower. They do it for him. You talk about having it made. That's it. Guess what? You take one of these little ones. You take little Peter back there. How old are you, Peter? Are you 5? 6? I knew it was somewhere in that ballpark. I knew he had a birthday here recently. That little 6-year-old boy, he can't wait to be about 10 or 12. Then you take Andrew down here. You're what, 12? 13? Still ugly. He can't wait to be 16 or 15 so he can drive. Job, Randy. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? A child's not satisfied. They're looking forward to the next step. until you get to a certain age, then you're not looking forward to the next step because it's down, amen? About 6 foot down. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to make a statement here. Both loyalties are good, but one is far more productive and far more fulfilling than the other. Listen to this. The most successful are always attacked. Immaturity and wrong always attacks maturity and right. Should I say it again? Success is always attacked. I don't care if it's in the financial world. I don't care if it's in the business world. I don't care if it's in the spiritual world. I don't care if it's in the parenting or the child rearing or the educational world. Success is always attacked by immaturity. Always. Let me show you what I mean. Some of you teenagers. Mom, what's wrong with this? You just don't understand. Y'all know what I'm talking about?
Yep.
Folks, as a 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old boy, my dad would say something, or my mom, and I thought, I am never going to make my kids do that. I'm never going to do that. You know how many times I've called my parents and said, I'm sorry. The very thing I said I would not do, I'm doing it more. Say why? Because I have it through different eyes, amen? There is no teenager in the world that has enough sense to understand how to live life. None. Now, some have a little more sense than others, but if they're in junior high, forget it. Yeah, buddy. See, immaturity always attacks maturity. That's why, let me show you what I mean. They come home from school. Mom, I got in trouble for this. Now, I didn't do it. It was my teacher's fault. That's immaturity attacking maturity. Everybody doing okay? That's why he comes home from work and says, well, I got in trouble. It wasn't my fault. It was somebody else's fault. That's immaturity attacking maturity. God said that the perfect or the mature in loyalty would serve him closest. Now, I have five statements or so this morning I want to give you, and I'll hurry through these. Number one, immature loyalty rushes to please without using wisdom. Immaturity rushes to please without using wisdom. Immaturity runs to obey without having all the information needed to obey. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever see a child, you start to tell them something, then they run off before you got done to go do what you started to say, and they don't have the rest of it done because they didn't listen to you? Y'all know what I'm talking about? you want them to do three things. You said one thing, and they... And you're thinking, you only got one third of it. There's two thirds left. Hey, get back here. Oh, they're ready to run. Get the first thing done. That's very true with immaturity. You see, immaturity hurries. By the way, they often do it very sloppily or very hastily. If you go clean your room, we'll go get ice cream. Say, what does immaturity do? They go into the room. They gather it all up on top of the bed, fold the sheets together, open up the closet, and throw it in there, or shove it underneath the bed if they can get it under there. It's all cleaned up! Well, it looks better, but is it all cleaned up and put away in the right place? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Say, how do you know those things? Shut up. See, I've been where you're at, amen? Immaturity says, I want something, I'll hurry up, get it done. I may not even do it right, but I'll make it look like I got it done so I can go do what I want to do. Oh, man. My dad was too smart. In my house, you came home and you did your homework before you went out and played. Dad or mom would say, is your homework done? Yep. Was it done? None of your business. The first time my dad said, good, let me see it. Ooh. But he didn't just do that. He let me go out to play for a while. Then said, let me see your homework. Ooh, double trouble. Double trouble. You say, what was that? Immaturity. I remember one time I knew, I could tell by the look in his face he was going to check it. I had some math that needed done. I did what every good junior hire would do. I just started writing answers in. I didn't answer the problem. I just started writing numbers. You know, looks like that would be about that many. Just started going through it. I'll go back and erase them and do them tomorrow morning before school starts. No problem. Dad said, let me see your math. No problem. See, Dad? He said, no. Let me see it. What do you mean? Dad started looking at it. He said, that one's wrong. He said, all these are wrong. Do it over. You're not going out tonight. Ooh. But Dad, there's a game in the backyard. I don't care. You're not going out to play. You're done. You're not going to throw answers down that aren't real answers and go out and play. Do your work. Ooh. He said, son, you're going to learn something. If you do it right the first time, it'll take you less time than doing it twice. Guess what? I learned. Say, how'd you learn? Shut up. You see, immaturity often makes mistakes because it doesn't listen to all the instructions. Immaturity rushes to do what it wants and calls the rules and regulations that slow them down stupid. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, I've been picking on young people enough. I'm going to defend them for a second. Moms and dads, that's like the speed limit. Why Route 11 up there between Warm Springs, between Queen Street and till you get just past Warm Springs there is 35 miles an hour? I do not know. But I drive 35 miles an hour there. I'm probably the only person in town that does that. Until they see the police car sitting there with the radar gun. But I'll obey it. You say, do you think it's stupid? Doesn't matter what I think. Somebody else thought it was the right speed limit. Everybody doing okay? For a child to defend the wrong they're doing by saying, oh, that's just a stupid rule at school. That's immaturity. I've known enough about leadership. No rule is stupid. It's there for a reason. I use this often. Do you know there is nothing sinful about chewing gum? Now, I don't chew gum. I promise you, I haven't chewed, I haven't put that stuff in my mouth in forever. I'll promise you, I haven't chewed a pack of gum in the last 30 years total. I just don't like it. I run my mouth enough, I don't need to run it for nothing. And men, you should appreciate this. I don't know why you want to put something in your mouth and chew on it and not swallow it. If it's going in there, the purpose of chewing is to get it small enough to swallow it. I'm not against it. But I know this. In a school situation, I've seen what young people do with gum. It ends up in places it should not be. Now, could I make an allotment today for this student? Probably. But tomorrow they'll do something with it that they shouldn't. Say why? Immaturity. Now, chewing gum is not sinful. There's about 15 of you doing it right now. That's fine. Now, don't start popping that stuff or I'll pop you. Amen? Now, wait a minute. There's nothing sinful about it. But sometimes you have to, because of immaturity, set standards and set boundaries down so that you don't have other problems later. Like what? Like a junior high boy that's sitting behind a girl with long hair and he decides he's done with his gum and he sticks it in her hair. Or decides to put it on the chair in a spot where when they sit down, they don't see it. But when they get up, everybody else does. Now you know why I don't chew gum. But I'm talking about those rules at work that you think are stupid. And you think you know so much about where you work, but you don't own or run the company. Guess what? There's rules there for a reason. I never understood when I started working in a machine shop why they said, if you do not wear jewelry around the CNC lathes. Take your wedding ring off. Take any ring you got off. No jewelry, no bracelets, no necklaces, no nothing. Until I saw a guy stick his hand in a machine one day, and it caught his ring and ripped all the skin off of his ring finger. Nothing but a bone sitting there going like this, as we're reaching down into a machine to pull all the flesh and meat back out of the machine so he could go to the hospital. I realized why that rule was there. I thought it was stupid. Guess what? There was a reason for that rule. Say, what was it? Stupid people like him and me that had the ring on when they were working with the machine. Everybody doing okay? Say, well, I didn't violate that, so I can get by with it. There's a reason the rule is there. Maturity says you'll follow all the rules and not call them stupid. did you ever notice how that the most immature professional athletes complain about the rules? We lost this game because of poor officiating. That's an immature little baby. I have never seen a game lost by one bad call. None. I've seen some to where that one bad call could have changed the game, but guess what? I'll guarantee there were other plays before that one that they should have done rightly that would have changed the game even more than one bad call. So don't blame the officiating. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, Brother Bush. All right. So, number one, immature loyalty rushes to please without using wisdom. Number two, immature loyalty lets duties fail in order to do special projects. Oh, this one's going to get some of you happy. They like all the special work, but let their regular work fall. They're the people where you work, men and ladies, that volunteer for the special projects, and you hate when they get them because you end up doing their regular work so they can do the special project. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They're the student in the class that volunteers to help the teacher all the time but never can turn their homework in on time. Boys and girls, you don't volunteer to do special jobs so that you don't have to do your regular work. Special jobs are meant for those that get their regular work done. Ooh. that's like, okay, everybody look at me. That's like you young people that are willing to listen to your teacher at school or your Sunday school teacher or me here at church, but you're not willing to listen to your mom and dad at home. You don't impress me because you'll do what I ask. You don't impress me because you'll do what Brother Kisner or Brother Brinkerhoff or Mrs. Eckerd will ask of you in Sunday school. You impress me when you obey mom and dad at home when nobody else is looking. Amen. You see, immaturity wants to play whether or not the work is done. Well, I hate to tell you something. The Bible says work, then play. God says duty, then pleasure. That's why we got so many people shacking up in the world. They want the benefits without the responsibility. God says take the responsibility, then you get the benefits. That's why we live in a society that wants the government to give them everything because give it to me and then I'll spend it. That's why you have a president and a Congress that says, well, let's extend unemployment and give people things that are not theirs and it will help our economy. Folks, unemployment benefits do not help the economy. I am sorry if you're out of work. Can I tell you what that creates? Creates creativity and people entrepreneuring and getting off their blessed do-nothing versus relying on the government. I'm not against helping people that need help. God knows I help people as much as I can. God knows this church will help people all we can. But I happen to believe what Thomas Jefferson said over 200 years ago, a government that's big enough to give you anything you want is big enough to take everything you have away. America and liberals have said, you get without paying first. Our credit card society. I'm going to get somebody riled up here. Some of you have more credit card debt than you have income. If you can't pay for it, don't get it. It's that simple. I'm not against you making payments on things. No, I've got a new car. My salary has come to the point, and I waited after pastoring this church 1 year before I purchased a car. Say why? Because my son bought my other one to take it to college with. It was a 1991 Buick LeSabre. It's a good car. It was old. It's going to get him through college. But it came time for me to buy another one. By the way, don't talk about my truck either, all right? See, that thing's old and nasty, yeah, but it's great for hauling deer and wood in, amen? It's not there to be looked at. It's there to be driven. It gets me to and from. You say, oh, you need a new 4x4. No, I don't need a new 4x4. I need to just wear out the one I got. I'm good with it. But let me make this statement. Some of us want too many things before we've had the ability to pay for it. I think it's wrong. Let me restate that. I think it's unwise for parents whose children graduate from high school to go out and buy them a $30,000 brand new vehicle. Make them earn the right. Graduating from high school does not give you the right to have a brand new car. Sorry. Just dash some of your hopes. Amen, Levi? There's a joke there. You can ask him about it later. He just turned 16? Just turned 16. I asked his dad if he was going to buy him a new car. He said, no. And then I get a picture later that they're at the store and he bought him a matchbox. Told him he couldn't drive it for another year till he paid for the gas for it. I told Levi his dad's a cheapskate. That's the problem. You know what? I'm glad when I was 13 years old, my dad said, if you want to drive, you're going to buy your own car when you turn 16. I spent 3 years of my life, actually a little bit more than that. I spent 3 years of my life mowing grass, shoveling snow, digging ditches, pulling leaves out of gutters, doing side jobs, cutting wood, you name it, so that when I turned 16, I paid $800 cash for my first car, had 6 months insurance paid for cash before I bought it. And matter of fact, I bought it 2 weeks before I turned 16. I had to buy it, have my dad drive it home because I wasn't even able to drive the stupid thing home. I had to watch that thing sitting out in front of the house for 2 weeks before I could get my driver's license and even drive the stupid thing. I said, Dad, can we just take it to the parking lot and let me drive it? He said, no. That's not fair. My daddy didn't buy my first car for me. I bought it. Thank God. Thank God. I learned how to earn my way in life. America thinks having a fancy title is important. What happened to good old-fashioned work and who cares who gets the credit? What happened to roll up your sleeves and get it done and forget who gets the credit for it? Could I show you how to have a better workplace where you work? Just go get the job done, get everybody around you to get the job done, and don't care whether you get a promotion or not. Get up early, get there on time, get there, get your work done. And by the way, plan your work and work your plan. What happened to parents making their children do their homework versus parents doing the children's homework? Some of you aren't wise enough to see that your children are asking you for the answers to what they are supposed to figure the answers out to. My mama was too sharp for that. Mom, what's this? I don't know. Where's your book? Right here. Bring it here. She'd look at it. Read that chapter. The whole thing? Yeah, the whole thing, till you can figure out what it is. But, no. You read it. I'd spend 5 minutes going through 10 pages. Can't find it, Mom. Read it again.
Ooh.
My mom didn't say it's on this page and this paragraph. You find the ones in bold letters, you'll find it. Oh, no. Not at all. Some of you give your children, do their work for them. You do the research for them. You write their papers for them. And it's no wonder we've got a country that's not smart enough to know what's going on around them. And by the way, some of you need to make sure your children are getting their work done, not just asking them. Well, I trust my child. You really are not wise, are you? People do what you inspect, not what you expect.
Hey. Yes.
Say, how do you know that? Because I had an inspector for a dad, amen? So, number one, immature loyalty rushes to please without using wisdom. Number two, immature loyalty lets duties fail in order to do special projects. Number three, immature loyalty seeks praise and attention. Immaturity hurries to obey and run and tell everybody what they got done so that everybody can be pleased. Those of you that have small children, you know what I mean. You tell them to go do something. What do? They run to the room, get it done, run back. Look what I did, look what I did, look what I did. And then you find out it wasn't exactly what you wanted. I don't watch commercials. I don't watch a ton of television, but I happened to be walking through one day, and in my house, we turn all the sound off on all the commercials because 99.999% of them are filthy and trashy anyways. Happened to be that I just walked through. Nobody was there. It was on, and there was, I don't even know what it was for. Some of you could probably tell me. I don't know. But this little kid came back and said, Mommy, I just went to the bathroom. Oh, she was so happy. She went back in. She looked in the commode. It wasn't there. She said, where? And he points to the tub. That's the way immaturity acts. You're all happy, got it done. Yeah, but you didn't do it the right way or in the right place. Amen. We got some more educating to do. Amen. You see, the job done and the job done well right the first time should be its own praise. You know, just because you get your job done doesn't mean you get a raise. That's what you were hired to do.
Amen.
I am so sick in America that think they need a raise every year because they made it another year. Everybody doing okay?
Yes,
okay, you're the ones paying my salary. You ought to be yelling amen real loud right now. You see, I don't mow my yard so people can walk by and say, wow, look how beautiful that is. I like mowing my yard, making sure all the lines are straight, everything's the way it's supposed to be, so that I can say I did it, and I did it right the first time, and I got it done, and it looks the right way. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
I let the yard being done be its own reward, not what somebody else says about it. You know, I don't measure how my mowing abilities are based on the neighbor on either side of me. I measure it on the fact that I got it done and it got done right. Doesn't bother me if they mow theirs or not. As long as mine's done, that's all that matters to me. Why am I comparing myself with somebody else anyway? students, young people, listen to me. Let the book report or paper that you're writing be written well, thoroughly, done right, not just getting by the minimal requirements.
Amen.
How well do you know what you just put down on paper? Cutting and pasting from Wikipedia is not getting a project done right.
Amen.
Trust me, those of us that are over 25 years old know whether you cut and paste. Everybody doing okay? All right. Some of you think getting praised for a good grade is a benefit, and that the A at the end of the report card is the only thing that matters. I hate to tell you, I know a lot of people that don't get straight A's that are smarter than some that do.
That's good.
Okay, moving on. Everyone in our society seems to need a reward, a trophy, or a ribbon. Oh, you did such a good job. And if you don't get the trophy, something's wrong. God, help us. Whatever happened to just getting the job done and done right to the best you could being its own reward? Now we're to the point where we don't keep score in the average little league anymore because we might hurt somebody's feelings if they lose. What a sissy society. What a sissy society. I was principal in a school at one point in time, and we were giving out awards at the end of the year, and I had a dad come to my office, and he said, "I can't believe it. You made my daughter cry. She didn't get such and such award." He said, "My daughter cried." I said, "I'm sorry, she cried. She did not get the award. Somebody else got it." He said, "I watched X number of students not get an award. That's not right." Mr. Henpecked got under my skin. Because the hen pecking him was sitting right beside him. I said, "Did you watch the Super Bowl last year?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "I watched a whole team of grown men cry because they lost a game. Are you going to complain that both teams next year should get a trophy?" That didn't go over real well. We have a generation of people that are like puppies who need patted on the head and a treat to do what they're supposed to do. "You want to go outside? You want to go outside? Come on, let's go outside. Come on, time to come inside. Okay. If we don't have treats in class, the students won't get it done. God forbid." Everybody doing okay? Okay. Let's let getting our work done and doing it right the first time be its own praise. Boy, that's good stuff. Number four, I got to hurry. Mature loyalty does not demand that you always agree. Now listen to this statement very carefully. You know, I can be loyal to my wife if we disagree about what we're going to have for lunch today. No, we're not. Say, "What are you having?" "I don't care. What she feeds me, I will swallow. As long as I didn't have to make it, and I didn't have to plan it, I'm fine with it. And if I'm not, that's my fault for not making it and not planning it. I'm good with it. I don't have to agree with her." Say, "Well, you might want this." Okay, I might want that, but she made this. Let's eat it. I'm good with it. I don't even have to like it. I'll eat it. You see, I can be loyal to my wife even though I might not agree with her on what she chose for us to eat today. Everybody doing okay? I'm going somewhere. Disagreement does not mean disloyalty. Going around telling everybody you disagree with leadership is disloyalty. I don't have to agree with my wife what we have. But if I go to everybody in here and say, "After lunch today, I can't believe what my wife served me today. That woman, I can't believe what she did." Now that's disloyalty. That's disloyal. By the way, teenager, when you go around telling your friends how much you disagree with your mom and dad, you're disloyal. By the way, employee, when you go around telling all your coworkers how you disagree with the boss, you're disloyal. Say, "Well, I disagree." Shut up and do it anyway. Say, "That's not a nice word." Okay, neither's disloyalty. Mature loyalty does not wear its independent attitude on its face. "Well, I have the right to speak my opinion." Yeah, and you have the right to keep your mouth shut too. You get arrested, you have the right to remain silent. And for some, it would be better if they were silent. The mature, loyal person respects the position or role no matter if they agree or not. Do you know, I don't have to like who the president of the United States is, but I must respect his office. Do you agree with him? No. at all, we won't go there. But if the President of the United States walked through that door right now, don't worry, he won't. But if he walked through that door right now, I would address him appropriately. I would treat him with respect. Say why? Because his position says I should. I don't have to agree with him. Okay, listen to this. Hey, student, you're supposed to treat your teacher with respect whether you agree with that teacher or not, Sunday school teacher or school teacher. You're supposed to treat your parent with respect whether you agree with them or not. By the way, we live in a society that where I need to say this, but stepchildren are supposed to obey their step-parents just like their own blood parents. If your mama married another man or your daddy married another lady and that person is not your biological parent, because your mom or your dad is married to them, you owe them the same respect as a biological parent. That's God's view. By the way, husbands and wives, if you'll back each other up on it, you'll have a better home. Just thought I'd throw that in there. And by the way, you're supposed to obey your boss and uplift your boss and respect your boss whether you agree with him or not. The Bible says, servants, obey your masters in all things. It does not say your saved master. Amen. Just telling you what the Bible says. These are God's words, not mine. Number five, and I'll finish. Mature loyalty will be expressed in ways that only evil people will question. This goes a little bit with point number one. Mature loyalty, because it's successful, will always be attacked. But can I tell you something? Loyal people won't attack loyalty. Only people that are disloyal and evil will. Loyalty by mature people will be expressed privately and publicly. It will. I love my wife. You all don't doubt that. You've heard me say it publicly enough. Can I tell you something? For every one time you've heard me say it behind this pulpit, I've said it to her 1,000 times in private. I express it privately and publicly. Doesn't bother me. Everybody doing okay? Okay. Evil desires to have the loyalty that mature loyalty has. So they'll try to talk down mature loyalty as being wrong. Statements like, oh, that's a cult. Folks, this is as far from a cult as you get. Just so you know. And that's not a new thing. I've heard it for 35 years. Oh, they have a cultish following. Those are blind followers. If that person told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it? No, but it looks like you already did. Number one, I follow somebody that's not stupid enough to ask me to jump off a bridge. Oh, that person's so strong. That's dictatorship. That's not real leadership. That's how evil people attack mature loyalty. Just so you know. Oh, you're just following a man. Oh, I get so sick and tired of that. I've heard that for 30 years of my life. You're right. I'm following a man. The man, Christ Jesus. Period. Mature loyalty is not passive. But it is very fulfilling, enriching, and a wonderful way to live. Mature loyalty, listen to this. Mature loyalty drives evil crazy. Mature loyalty will drive evil and disloyal people bonkers. It's fun. Let me show you what I mean, fellas. That little twit at work that's trying to hit on you at the office. Why don't you start talking about how wonderful your wife is? Put her picture up. Talk about how great things are at home and watch her go nuts. She'll leave you alone like the plague. Ooh, that's off limits. I'm going to make a statement. If she keeps hitting on you, you're not talking about your wife enough. Okay. Mature loyalty stands on principles and not emotion. Do you know I can do what's right whether I feel like it or not? Do you know I can stand for right whether I like it or not? You know, there's... folks, you think it's tough listening? You ought to try to have to preach this stuff. I was sitting in a meeting one day with Brother Hiles as I worked for him, and he said, boy, I'm glad when I was going to Bible college, we didn't have that rule like we have at Hiles Henderson College, and that's why we have that one at Hiles Henderson College. He said, you ever try to live all those rules? I said, Brother Hiles, I'm a graduate of Hiles Henderson. Yeah, I had to live every one of those things. And yeah, it stinks, but I'm glad it did. He said, I never made it. I heard him say that more than once. I'd have never made it. I'm thinking, yeah, and you made me go through it. Yeah, I made it. Now, wait a minute. As colleges change, as churches change, as pastors and preachers change, as people change, loyalty does not have to change. You see, my loyalty is based on a truth called the Word of God. Not some institution. Not my emotion. Everybody doing okay? I'm not afraid to say this right now. The Bible college I graduated from, I'm not welcome at anymore. And I don't care. Say why? They changed, I didn't. I stand for what they taught years ago. I'm not afraid of that statement. Everybody doing okay? All right. It may separate you from those who change, but God's word does not change. This is why people think man wrote the Bible. That's why they want to change the Bible. Well, David said here in Psalm 101, folks, David didn't write Psalm 101. God wrote Psalm 101. Moses did not write Genesis. God wrote Genesis. Bible says that the word of God was settled before the foundation of the world. God used men to pen it word by word as God gave it to him word for word. Solomon didn't write. Those were God's words. Everybody doing okay?
Yes, sir.
Well, Solomon meant here, or the Apostle Paul meant here. The Apostle Paul had nothing to do with it. He just penned down the words. Quit trying to impress us with what facts you think you know. By the way, that's why they want to teach the Bible as drama. Oh, let's look at the Bible in light of a play. Act one. Pass me the bucket while I vomit. Sorry, I was going to use another word. They want to impress you with their intelligentsia. I've met enough smart people, I don't want to be smart. They don't have enough sense to blow their nose. Well, I happen to know the seven stages and the seven dispensations. Jesus Christ, the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. That's one dispensation. Well, you have law and you have grace. No, you don't have law and you don't have grace. People in the Old Testament, according to Hebrews chapter 11, got saved by faith. By faith, Adam. By faith, Noah. By faith, Moses. By faith, Abraham. Guess what? Everybody is saved by faith. Old Testament, they looked to Calvary. New Testament, we look back at Calvary. But everybody gets saved by faith in Jesus Christ. One dispensation. Everybody doing okay? Say, you're just too simple. It's amazing to me, all the smart people have to have a simpler Bible to understand.
Yeah.
Well, we've got to rewrite it. We've got to make it easier for people to understand. Can I tell you why they need it to be easier to be understood? Because they don't know the God of this book and don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to teach them the book. I'm not the simple one. They are. Don't let them fool you. Huh. My Bible says, mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, a perfect loyalty, he shall serve me. I don't know about you. I don't just want to squeak my way into heaven. I'm selfish enough. I want to get as close as I can get. I don't know about you. I'm not satisfied with just having homeowner's insurance in heaven and fire insurance against hell. I'd like to get to heaven and have God say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't know about you. He saved me to spend time with him. Let me ask you a question. How's your loyalties? Hey, boys and girls, how's your loyalty with your mommy and your daddy? Hey, teenager, how's your loyalty with your parents? How's your loyalty with your school? Hey, employee, how's your loyalty at work? Is it perfect or is it immature? Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Bible says that there's a way for sure you can know you're going to heaven someday. It's not through Grace Baptist Church. It's not through a baptistry. It's not through being a good person. It's through faith in Jesus Christ. And that's it. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I am 100% sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, and I won't embarrass you just like I haven't embarrassed those. But who would say, Brother Bush, if I died today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right, we've got a little one or two, and that's fine. I wonder, how's your loyalty? You don't have to tell me what area. There's some young people in this room. You need to decide you're going to have perfect loyalty. There's some moms and dads and step-parents and some stepchildren that need to decide they're going to have perfect loyalty. There's some employees here that need to decide they're going to have perfect loyalty. There's some husbands and wives that need to get together and say, we need to ramp it up a little bit. Who'd say, Brother Bush, there was part of that truth today that hit me. Whether he said it or not, there's an area where I needed that truth. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores of you.